is the Bigger Things Podcast from Pod Bay 2A, high low of sea level, and intergalactic furry studios. We alter your local series by warming your synapses and keeping the gym radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sense of the stages out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael Dean and Andrew Keith?
Yes.
I think I just blew it away, though. And the Freedom Feed is covered by a BIPCOT. It's covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows use by anyone except state agents and their whatever. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Talking. Hi, Angela. How was your AK?
My life and my needs and my wants are all very, very satisfied, and I think this show will only add to that.
Yeah. Sound check. Keep talking.
This is the direction.
Yeah, live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible! Now this is a catastrophe. it's a radio catastrophe.
Yeah, I would have to contend. I guess I already did my sound check because I did the intro, and Michael threw it to me because he knows I'm probably the only one that knows it by heart. So, yeah, are we good? Are we good? I hear no whispers.
This is what happens when you have an unchecked police state. This is what happens. This is the nonsense that this is Empire of the Last Days. People are sound checking on the air like it's cable access in Austin in the 90s.
This was so punk rock. No, it's like
this is Radio Somalia.
It's, you know, when like you break down driving your little crappy 12-year-old van. No, actually, Bomb's van was like 27 years old. It was a Ford Econoline that had like 25 owners or something. And, well, one of the vans before that one died, we had to shoot it. We literally shot it. If you notice, that song that's playing on our intro, the lyrics, if you listen to that, it's, maybe I'll be happy if I shoot my van. And, yes, we shot our van. But that was very punk rock. And, you know, we do things like stay up on a bunch of speed and kratom and all of that stuff all night and, you know, have big sex orgies and then go on tour on no sleep, drive from San Francisco to a gig, you know, in Portland that night and break down in Coos Bay, Oregon, and have to fix the carburetor in the engine with duct tape and parts of a ballpoint pen, make it there on time. We're supposed to be the opening band. We make there as the last band is about to finish. They make an announcement. Bomb's here. We're going to play. We throw our equipment on stage, sound check just like that. Like no sound check, like sound checking, like, all right, this is the first song. Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear the bass? All right. Can you hear the drums? Like in the song, probably playing the song we were just listening to. It is the final days because everything's turning into punk rock. And we're going to talk about punk rock tonight. And that show got closed down by the police after three songs. It was outdoors. It was actually, no, it wasn't Coos Bay. Where it was? It was Grants Pass, Oregon at the college outdoors. Like 600 people there. By the time we got on stage, we were 300 because everyone thought the show was over. So we played three and a half songs. The cops closed it down because it was 9 o'clock at night and people could hear it a mile away. And that show is one of the ones that people remember the most. That people still email them, man, I saw you get shut down by the cops after three songs. You know, because governments trying to stop things only make them more popular. Case in point, it's a little drug going around called Kratom. I heard about it 5 years ago, 8 years ago. It's been around for hundreds of years. Not many people I know had used it. It's basically almost like, you know, it's legal, it's herbal, but it's kind of like taking a Valium and a codeine at the same time and deals with pain and helps get you off narcotics and gets you kind of mellow and high. And
I hear a siren that someone's getting busted with Kratom right now. Yeah,
I know. They're coming to get me for talking about it. But they tried to outlaw it, and then all of a sudden, everyone's doing it. Thanks, government. That's what government does.
Yep. So I've only heard about it briefly because I used to be real big into hookah, and so when I went to the smoke shops, I started seeing that stuff kind of underneath the glass counters, and I was like, "What is this? I don't care." The only thing that I ever really cared about as far as that legal stuff was salvia.
Kava.
I've never seen kava at a smoke shop. I always found those in the Asian food stores.
Through the mail from Rolling Stone magazine when I was 11 in 1975.
And you made tea out of it and it drank great. It? Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, it's fun. But the salvia, especially if the extracts, it's
a little overwhelming. That's the stuff that makes people insane. There's videos. Google that or look on YouTube. for salvia.
Yeah, the best ones nuts. Is writing a letter to your congressman on salvia, gardening with salvia, and driving driving on salvia. They're instructional manuals on how to drive on salvia, and they're really funny. And
so people speaking of punk rock and drugs. Speaking of punk rock and drugs, the name of tonight's show is... Hey, Jim, will you go to the Freedom Fiend site? And Angela, I want you to read something. That letter that someone quit the Fiends last night. Someone who'd been a longtime fan of this show was like, you've gone too far. You know, I mean, I was all with you when you said that children should be able to buy assault rifles and heroin in vending machines. But now that you're friends with a murderer, I can't listen to you anymore. So the name of tonight's show is going to be, well, we're going to call it Murder Lives Matter, but I came up with a better name, which is the Freedom. It's a friendlier name. The Freedom Fiend's Guide to Being Friends with a Murderer.
Was it the comment by Janiel Shulman? So Janiel Shulman gave up on the Fiends? Is that...
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm having trouble finding this. I'm just seeing the normal pictures of humans.
So, yeah, I guess it's the latest post.
Tesla and repair, fly fishing, and Bitcoin show. So you scroll down.
And then look at
Jim
the comments.
Has it. So there's a picture on here. My friend Arthur Culbertson. I don't know. People's last names. I don't know. Oh, Janiel Shulman. Oh, my God. He believes people are redeemed. I didn't read his one. Okay, so anyways...
Of course, he's pimping alongside Night the movie on this.
So my friend Arthur's band, Psychos in Love, was opening up for Fang, who I've been talking about a lot on the show lately. Fang, label mates with my band Bomb. Great band. I love them. Especially love the song, The Money Will Roll Right In. I'll listen to it on repeat 20 or 30 times sometimes. And Sammy, also known as Sammy Town, the singer in Fang, went to prison for murder. And unlike our friend Mark Edge, who also went to prison for murder, Mark Edge didn't actually kill anybody. Mark Edge was he participated in a murder, basically. And in Florida and most places, you go to prison for that. I actually talked to Sammy Town a bunch today and talked to Mark Edge today and got both their permissions to talk about what we talked about privately on this show. Because Sammy doesn't talk, like I posted this thing today about redemption. Because several people have quit listening to the Fiends because I've basically been like, yeah, this guy Sammy, met him once. He's a pretty cool guy. You know, I believe people can be redeemed. I looked him in the eye. I hugged him. He was out of jail. He was clean. His eyes were sparkling. They were bright. I could tell he wasn't going to murder anymore, basically. No, but so I had my friend Arthur, when his band opened up for Fang a couple nights ago, I sent him ahead of time Fiends buttons and stickers and Bipcot stickers and buttons and Bitcoin stickers and buttons. Sent some for Arthur, also sent a bag for Sammy. So I get this awesome photo of Sammy holding up the bag. He looks like a drug dealer, like, hey kids, wanna buy a lid of buttons? And with Arthur. And I just posted this. I talked about it a little bit. I was like really kind of jazzed by it, man. I'm like happy Sammy's still playing, still rocking the free world out of prison. It's been many years, and he hasn't murdered anybody since he's been out of prison. See, the thing is, too, like, and he did kill somebody. He killed his girlfriend, walked in on her having sex, chased the guy out, I guess, murdered, he got in a fight with the girl, strangled her, death, split town, was on America's Most Wanted and a current affair. Like, this was national news. He, finally, his band turned him in. He was hiding out at some fan's house and, you know, he went to prison, only served 6 years. Mark Edge served 9 years and didn't murder anybody. Mark was in the room and then drove the guy to the airport to leave town afterwards. Sammy said, yeah, I have a lot of friends. Knew a lot of people in prison for that. In California prisons, they call that a ride along. You know, what are you in for? Oh, a ride along. I told Mark that. He thought it was hilarious. I mean, you know, not that any of these guys are like, oh, I killed people. No, they're not. They're both repentant. They're both believe in redemption. You know, both have changed their lives around totally. Both guys wish to hell they'd never done what they did. You know, not just because they went to prison, but because, you know, they wish they hadn't done what they did. And I posted about that and talked about Sammy with that on Facebeef today. And Sammy saw it, but didn't comment. He usually comments on stuff I write lately. Frankino-friendly, you know, Facebook banner. And but he wrote me privately, and he said, I really appreciate what you said, man, and people can change. And but I don't talk. I didn't respond publicly because, you know, idiots. Because everyone's got an opinion, and I really respect that too. Like, you know, like he just won't come out and yammer about it on the and get in face beefs about it with people, which is respectable. So, Jim, will you read this email or this comment from the guy who quit the Fiends because sure. I posted a picture happily of this guy, Anthony All right. Appleton.
I didn't think we were going to do that.
Hey, he posted his name on a public forum. Okay. It's not punching down. He wanted to be known. He used his real. He could have used a fake name. That could be a fake name.
Well, it kind of goes into the whole. I mean, I hate the term virtue signaling because it doesn't. It's a meaningless term at this point. It's just basically like, oh, I don't like the opinion that you express, so I'm going to say that you're virtue signaling. But it kind of is like the original.
Explain
kind of
virtual
of
signaling though before we
virtual
do that.
Virtue signaling. It's when you're playing your with your Google Cardboard and you see something and you want to signal.
Virtual signaling when you write to Virgil, the guy makes cell 411.
Yeah, so the original thesis, it's kind of evolved since then, but the original thesis of virtue signaling was kind of like the reason why you're expressing dislike for something and you're announcing it publicly is not to condemn the person for doing
it,
but rather
cool you are.
To show how cool you are and how virtuous you are. And now it just basically means, oh, you're expressing an opinion that, you know, that I don't care about.
This guy's virtue signaling by quitting the Fiends, by basically being like, yeah. I believe murder is bad in all its forms. So do I. So, I'm not saying murder's good.
So here's his comment. He said, the man posing with the Fiends button in the photo was convicted of strangling his girlfriend to death. Have I gotten this correct? Am I also to understand that you still consider this man a friend?
Yeah. And this is a long reply. Let's hold it for after the break. So we're going to go to break in a minute here. But people. Yeah, so this guy's basically going to tell you why he thinks murder is bad, and he wants everyone to know that. I agree, dude. Sammy agrees. Mark agrees. I hooked Sammy and Mark up to talk to each other because they got stuff to say that nobody else understands of how people deal with them, you know?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Feel no relief ever. It's just nonstop agony.
Oh.
Speaking of agony.
The Apple ad later. Okay, so this is Freedom Fiends. We're talking about the fact that
murder.
I know someone who was in prison for murder, and therefore people won't listen to the show anymore. Three people have mentioned it, one in writing on the Fiend site. All right, so. And probably a few more who didn't mention it. So I'd say we lost 8 or 10 people over knowing a murderer and people being stupid. So go ahead and please read my reply. Try to read in my voice, which you say has no distinguishing characteristics, which mean I should be a telemarketer from Nebraska. But
Stone okay, searcher, so like man. Trump has some like kind of quirks that he does. Jeffrey Tucker does
it,
too.
Like, kind of read it.
All right,
like this.
All right,
fast,
so
dude,
could you read it?
Anthony
Jeffrey
Appleton. Yes, the person. I can't do it. Sorry, I'm
just
not even trying.
Yes, the person. This is
yes,
me
the person.
The guy.
Okay, yes, the person in the right of that photo with the Fiends button is Sammy McBride from Fang. And yes,
Wait a minute. I just made Arthur looked like a murderer. I was barely awake. I said right of the photo, but it's the left of the photo.
Well, he's right in the photo because it's backwards, right?
Oh, right in the photo. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Agreed on as I correct that.
Yeah. Okay. Not saying that he's a bad person, but Sammy was not my friend. He was an acquaintance of a former label mate. Our bands were both on the same label. Two of the same labels, actually, Boner Records and Wingnut Records. I met him once... that I recall in the studio after he got out of prison. I liked him then, and from what I can tell about him, let me zoom in because it's hard to read on this monitor. And what I can tell about him, how I like him. That's. Chatted with him a little on Facebook the other day, but I have heard a lot from mutual friends that he's an all right dude now. The murder was 27 years ago. People can change a lot in that amount of time. Do you think that people are not redeemable? If so, that's poor attitude. Mark Edge from Free Talk Live also did time for murder, though unlike Sammy, Mark didn't actually kill anyone, but was an accomplice to murder. Was in the room during a murder and helped the killer flee town. So in Florida was charged with murder.
In Florida, he was charged with murder. I have a lot of great interactions with Mark, and I do absolutely consider him a friend. Now, I want to jump in with a few things before you read his reply. A, I had a great heart-to-heart with Sammy today for like 40 minutes, and I consider him a friend now. He is my friend now. And I actually said to him, if you're ever driving through Casper, Wyoming on tour, and I say through because no bands ever play here, there's not an audience for them, and there's nowhere to play. But, you know, if you're driving from Denver to Bozeman, Montana, feel free to stop in and have lunch with me or dinner, but not your band. I don't know them. I don't want them here. You know, I was just like making it because at first I thought he's going to be like, dude, I'm going to, you know, hey, let me know when you're going to be there. And I'm like, you know, I told him I'm sick. I can't go to Denver because they do play Denver. And but I didn't want him to, I wanted him to understand. It's not like, oh, you murdered somebody. You can't come to my house. No, it's like. You can come to my house. I don't know those other guys. You know, I'm not a punk rocker. I'm a punk rocker, but I'm not the kind of guy who wants a bunch of drunk dudes I don't know coming to my house and hurting, scaring my cats. So I did invite him, and we had a deep heart to heart, really spiritual almost in a way about redemption. It almost made me like, I started to tear up after talking to him because it was such a beautiful exchange, no homo. And I do consider him a friend. The other thing that's hilarious about all this was he said, dude, I didn't just meet you in the studio that one time after I got out of prison and you were sober. We hung out back in the day a bunch of times and had a great time. And I'm like, oh, weren't drugs and alcohol great? I have no recollection of this, but I probably do deep down because that's why I'm like, yeah, I like this guy. Like as soon as I met him, because I'd spent time hanging out with him before, but forgot. All right. Are we out? No, we got more time. So go ahead and read his reply, please. Jim.
Oh, I'm reading it. I thought it was Angela was going to read it.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Angela.
Okay. So I'm reading. Okay, so...
Get on the mic.
The Freedom Fans has been a long ride, but I'm getting off here, says the Anthony guy, Appleton. Anthony.
The murder signaler. Yeah. The virtue signaler. Murder.
Then Michael explodes back. I don't know what to say to that.
I ejaculate back. Wait, sort of.
Sounds like you think people are not redeemable. I think that's sad. But I guess thank you for sticking around as long as you did.
Question mark. LOL.
L dot.
Man, thank you, Angela. You put more...
And more dramatic reading.
Yeah, man. That sounds like I'm about to murder his girlfriend or something. All right. Yeah, I wasn't that passionate about this guy leaving.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Starting to think that he is.
Any particular reason?
His fervent support of Trump.
I love it when Angela's on Monday or Tuesday.
Angela's on a lot of drugs because she forgets she's on radio and she thinks she's talking to her friends on speakerphone and she's wandering around her apartment like 6 feet from the mic.
You want quality radio. You're going to have to take them on days you're scheduled with all kinds of things happening to them. It's just the way it happens. It's the magic. No, seriously, I do have a lot of thoughts about this. I don't know. I
live in a big house in West Oakland with a pack of murder dogs. And Jeremy can bring all his pit bulls. And I can bring my cats. And we can just live in a big pile in a big group home. And we'll just broadcast all the time. Just whoever, we'll never schedule things. Just whoever feels like it. Now that we have the Apple app and the Android app, we don't need to schedule things. All right.
Well, that sounds like an abomination. That sounds like an end times pre FEMA camp, second world collapse, the dollar period.
All right. So, Angela, how can you? What tonight's show title? How to be friends with a murderer? What do you have to say about redemption? I believe in it incredibly, and I don't invite people who aren't good to my house. And I've invited Tammy to my house, and the people that left the Fiends because I've met someone who has been in prison for murder. You know, here's the thing. First of all, it's someone said it was weird. Like, he only served 6 years in prison and there were extenuating circumstances, and this is pretty bizarre, and this actually is a thing in law often, that if you know, in Texas, my wife told me this, said this is bizarre, she's from Texas and she's a paralegal, she said that in Texas it is often in the law, it's in the law with certain circumstances, catching your woman with another man and murdering her is justifiable homicide, like the same as shooting at someone that's trying to kill you. Isn't that bizarre, man? You know. So anyway, the thing about how to be friends with a murderer. So, you know, I've met a bunch of people that have been in prison for murder, and probably some people who never get caught, because I was in NA and AA in LA and San Francisco, and not in, you know, the nice part of town where Angela lives. I was on the East Side. And,
West Hollywood is not nice.
It's not nice, but it's yeah.
But not because it's a bad area.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Insult the.
Hey, don't get nationalistic about your zip code, Nash. There.
I'm very, 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 very proud of 90046.
That was Hubert Selby's zip code, too. You lived in the same neighborhood as him, about six blocks.
Yeah. I might be stabbing people right here in this neighborhood.
You might have to. So, yeah. So what do you think, Angela, about redemption?
Where do we begin on the issue of redemption? I don't know if there is redemption.
I was in 90046 also. Neato.
But you were up the hill, a little nicer.
Yeah, I was in Hollywood Hills. I was on Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
You were on Woodrow Wilson. Wilson.
Fault. It's all true. Woodrow Wilson's fault.
Well, you know, grave digging
was... That's great for the material
to be. Yeah, grave digging was a hobby of mine.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know what that means, and it's too inside baseball, and I'm asking Angela a serious question.
Okay, now, all right. Save it for the issue of redemption. Now. I do not know... Okay, I've studied enough of different Western religions to think about this. I do not know if everyone's redeemable. Specific people might be, but it's in their actions. Are that's the nihilist? Only way I could ultimately judge that. I'm not a nihilist.
Nihilism, anyway. That's what they tell me. That's what they said on. That's what they said on a current affair when they profiled Sammy when he was still on the lam. They're like, this nihilistic punk rock music leads to murder. Yeah. So. I don't know, man. I've met so many people, I mean, who not just murdered, too, but, like, I've probably met 100 people that used to mug people and beat people up for money to buy drugs, you know? It's and they're nice people now.
Yeah.
Jim.
What are you going to do? Like, not everybody has a perfect pass, and you just can't say, like, okay, well, you're irredeemable now because of that. I mean, there's some things that people do that I'm just like, nah,
I want to know why social justice warriors all pretty much to a woman, to a man, only use Apple products, iPhones and little Apple laptops. They think that they're better than people that use Windows. And here's what I'm getting at.
It's a virtue signal.
It is, but you know what? It shouldn't be, because all those people, if I said, hey, let's go see this movie that was made by this guy that used to beat his wife and denied paternity, they'd be like, are you nuts? I'd never go see support something like that. But Steve Jobs, who founded Apple, it's never really proven that he used to beat women, but he used to scream at them, and he was like 6 foot tall. And the mother of his child, Lisa, that he named the Lisa computer after, the first computer they had, he denied paternity of her when he was a billionaire with a B and the man of the year on Time magazine. His wife, or his common-law wife that he had a kid with, who was on food stamps, contacted him and said, hey, give me $60,000 for life to raise our child, and I'll never bother you again. And he said, kid ain't mine. She got a court order, DNA test. He said, the kid ain't mine, even though the DNA test said it was. And he finally only ever paid her some money because the board of directors of Apple said, you're going to be on the cover of Time magazine next week. We don't want this coming out. You're going to cut her a check out of your personal bank account, even if Apple has to pay it, and you're going to give her some money. So,
what's also interesting is that these social justice warriors are like really extreme left guys, and they hate Ayn Rand and bash him all the time. But Steve Jobs was an objectivist.
Yeah.
So
he also didn't believe laws applied to him, nanny laws, and he often, check this out, he hated having a driver's license on his car. So what he would do is he would buy a BMW and have the dealer plates on it, you know, that don't have numbers on them back then. And he'd drive it around for like 6 weeks until he was required. And then he would just buy a new BMW. So he never had to have license plates. I like that, actually. I mean, I kind of like everything about the guy except that, you know, he was horrible to people he loved and who loved him and looked up to him. He was also horrible to the programmers, too. He used to scream at them and pit them against each other, and I don't know. I think.
Yeah, but now that he's not doing that, Apple's kind of going downhill.
I know.
Everything Apple's creating is just like, oh, my God.
Well, because
why are you getting rid of USB ports? Why are you getting rid of headphone jacks?
He was a great capitalist who made these devices that all the people use to yell about why we need communism over.
Ugh. But speaking of Apple, don't you have something neat to play?
Yeah, are we done with redemption? Angela, I mean, I just, you know, this is not off topic, the Apple thing, and we're off murder. Like, yeah, I'm using a link baity title about murder for this to bring people in, but it's an honest title. But really, the show's about redemption. In the same way that, even according to Hubert Selby Jr., bingo, Requiem for a Dream is not about drugs. Damn, you see it, you're like, oh, that drug movie. No, that movie is about the death of the American dream, and drugs are just the delivery mechanism. And this show, you know, we're talking about murder in the beginning, but the nut of this is about redemption. And murder is such a taboo that it's the most extreme example. I would also say to anybody who's like, oh, I could never listen to a show with someone who's an acquaintance at one time with someone who was a murderer and posted a picture of him with the merch. I would say to that person too, like, have you ever thanked a soldier for their service? And I'm not going to go into a big military, what anti-war thing that's in. I was going to say that's Angela's thing, but it's my thing too. But here's the thing, like, when you thank a soldier for their service, part of their service may have included killing human beings who were unarmed and not threatening them in any way. So that's murder anywhere except when the government says it's okay. Angela, go ahead.
It doesn't even have to be that
speak
normal
up.
Of an
use
example.
Use your big girl voice on the mic.
The example is,
thank you.
That's loud.
Is that everyone,
that's good.
Everyone does business. Everyone has signed contracts. Everyone has hired wife beaters and child molesters and rapists every single day. You don't know who they
it's
are.
It's illegal
you don't
not
know
to,
everything about
actually.
The people you're acting. You interact with these people all the day, and it's very, very strange where people decide to draw the line. They go all the way to murder. That's the final line. Shouldn't the line have been drawn much earlier than before ending a life?
Good point.
So it's a very strange standard. But reality is, and we've talked about this with Woody Allen and some of these other, you know, Roman Polanski. You know, there's Yes, I watch art by people and fairly great filmmakers, and I'm pretty sure they're rapists of some kind.
That's why you're my kind of feminist. They're so great filmmakers. Because a lot of feminists would not watch a Roman Polanski movie. Hmm. Silence. Crickets.
You're not going to watch Chinatown? I mean,
Chinatown's amazing.
It's cinematically important movie. Yes, it's made by a guy who I absolutely should not be around children or women or human beings for any reason whatsoever.
Unless
but
he
still is a good movie
then
maker.
Again, yeah. That was like 40-some years ago. Do you think it's possible that maybe he hasn't raped children in the past 40 years and he feels bad about it?
I mean, post, you know, what happened to him with the matter of Sharon Tate, I imagine he has all sorts of problems. But, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard any reports since then that he's, as far as I know.
I mean, also, too, like, you know, the thing with, if you think, like, you know, life deals out karma. I mean, I think Roman Polanski, like, having his wife, his pregnant wife, pregnant with his child, murdered by the Manson people, you know, I think he suffered. And the main thing is the woman he raped as a child now is like, leave, don't prosecute him. You know, I don't want you to. But the state says, no, we know what's best. Really, I mean, shouldn't retribution and payment for real crimes be between, you know, some central, you know, some middleman arbitrator and the victim? If the victim says that I don't feel this person should be put in prison at this point, I think that's the end of the topic.
Well, that's just because they don't know what they're talking about, and clearly the government knows everything. How dare you? Why don't you move to Somalia already?
39 years ago was that rape.
The victim did not want the attention. This is one of the things that called in the category of social justice warriors, and there's a similar controversy and among people you're associated with, but a lot of victims don't wish to be identified. They don't wish to be bothered. They don't wish to have public crusades waged on their behalf. They just wish to be left alone. They've gone on with their lives, and all this does is open up a door of really horrible memories and pain that should have just been left where it was.
And people are idiots, too. Like, a really good example is Amanda Knox, who did not murder her friend. The murderer has been convicted and is in jail. People are still screaming at her on the street and calling her a slut and a murderer because she was a suspect at one point.
You know, people are horrible, and that's why we don't take calls.
That is. I've heard people call in Free Talk Live and say, Mark, you're a murderer. That's, yeah. Mark's a great guy. He's a good friend of mine. Sammy's becoming a friend of mine. So, worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
I'm trying to listen to Sam Kinison. I like him in tiny doses, but he's really special out. I couldn't stand it, man. It's bad audio, but it's also a lot of yelling.
Did you know that Sam Kinison was originally supposed to play Al Bundy in Married Children?
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
Al Bundy looked too good. You know, I mean, not that he was a great looking guy, but that actor's not a bad looking guy. Sam Kinison's a troll. Not just because he's big. I'm big, but I'm handsome. Yeah. But
and his wife was supposed to be Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Arnold, yeah.
She's my favorite communist, really. Because she likes guns and weed.
Yeah, she was funny, but I don't think she is anymore.
It's that thing Steve Miller says about how
political opinions are now comedy.
Just go up and talk about politics, and it's not fun. That's not funny. But Steve said something funny, too, about this guy boycotting Freedom Feeds because I met a murderer. But Steve said, I hope that this boycott only includes shows that Michael's on, and when Michael's not on, that he'll still listen to the rest of us and listen to Jim's show, Lulbert's. I doubt it, man. Tainted it with murder. Oh, Angela got murdered during the break, so she's not on anymore. We miss you, Angela.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so speaking of
the men can talk now.
Speaking of murdering good things, Janiel Shulman wrote a comment on the Freedom Beans blog, and I noticed this when we were talking.
About
think
redemption.
You noticed this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And he said, I also believe, he says, Michael W. Dean.
Sam Kinison could play Janiel Shulman in the movie we're going to make. After Shulman
no
dies.
No matter what kind of mic you have, Sam Kinison and all of his impersonations is bad audio. So now
he's dead.
Just
though.
Screaming at the mic. Yeah, he was funny, but oh man, does it hurt? So I also believe that people are redeemable. If you correlate,
this isn't your words.
No, this is Janiel Shulman writing to Michael W. Dean.
A guy who used to be kind of famous, like wrote one episode of The Twilight Zone back in 1860.
Redemption?
Wrote a book that people liked back in the 70s. And now is made a horrible movie. We reviewed it several times because it just kept getting you did one video and would have been done with it, but then he started screaming at you. You know, I told Sam McBride from Fang today, and he loved this. I said, because we were talking about like idiots on the internet yelling at him without knowing anything about him, and I said I said this back in 1999 and I still stand by it. The great thing about the internet is you get to meet people all over the world you'd never otherwise meet, period. The horrible thing about the internet is that you get to meet people all around the world that you'd never otherwise meet.
Yeah.
It's so true, man.
He's definitely one of them.
And Shulman's one of them. In the 70s, go ahead.
We should do the comic because
I'm murdering the lead.
Yeah. So he wrote this comment. He says, I do believe people are redeemable. You, if you correlate the agorist ideas presented alongside Night the movie and with the agorist ideas presented in alongside Night the novel and arrive at the same logical conclusion that the novelist and the filmmaker was one in the same original agorist making the same points, I'll stop saying that your trashing of the movie makes you an objective enemy of the agorist movement.
Wow.
But that's the problem. He's correlating that, like, oh, if you don't like the movie,
he's the central scrutinizer,
therefore you don't like the ideology of behind it of
agorism. So he determines who is it isn't an agorist.
Yeah, but the problem is
it's a weird kind of libertarian. But he wants me to apologize to him and to the non-aggression principle and to agorism, and then he will wave his magic wand and re-signify me as agorist compliant. Hey man.
Yeah. The problem is he's kind of conflating the two. Like, if you don't like the movie, therefore you must not like.
I've made horrible music and great music.
Look, there are horrible translations and editions of the Bible, like Bibles that like fall apart or whatever. But I doubt that he would say that me saying that this particular version of the Bible, is filthy and dirty and needs to be thrown out and get a new one. Would say that therefore you're like anti-Christian. It's like, no, it's just that this particular copy of this book is not
insane. You're giving him too much credit, but he's punching up. He thinks he's famous, but like
Hadouken.
I don't think about this guy. I haven't thought about him in 2 weeks since the last time he came and yelled at us. He's obsessing on us, which means we're cool and he's not.
Yeah, that's why we're devoting only a half of the smallest segment to him.
Yeah. We that was too much time. I wanted to talk about my wonderful new kitten, Bob, and how healthy and wonderful he is now.
We have another hour. Stick around.
Yes. Meow. Excellent.
Meow, meow. Best meow in the game.
You do have the best meow in the game. No homo. Aww. Kitty. That's great. Worms. The money will roll right in. I love that song. Play that for an hour on repeat.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with agoristhosting.com.
You got the best. just meow in the cage, Jesus. The Freedom Fiends are a bunch of manly men and tough, cool chicks who have cats. Some of us have dogs. Jeremy has murder dogs. But Jim and I have cats. And I got this new cat, Bob. This is my intro. I'm not doing a regular intro. Oh, by the way, since this is the... We like to use nationally syndicated radio to do one-on-one messages. Since I know Angela will listen... I don't like emailing all day. You know, I want to get away from the computer. So I'll just tell Angela or anyone else listening that Lou Fiend needs a co-host for this week. Like Sammy from Fang. I'm talk hard. Freedom Fiends. Hard talk. Pew. But so Bob the cat,
okay,
is my new kitten. He's 4 months old, and he's still got his little nuggets. We're going to let him have nuggets for a few more months so he turns into a big burly cat. But that means he's just nuts now that he's not sick. He was sick when I got him from the... He is amazing. All energy. Climbs my leg. Climbs up my pant leg like he's climbing a tree. So there's this, you like Bill Burr, right, Jim?
Yeah, I love Bill Burr.
Yeah. So Bill Burr is amazing. And he's got this rant about on his podcast about that he has a pit bull. And when he got it, he didn't know anything about training. He didn't know he had to train dogs at all. That's why I like cats. They train you. But he got a pit bull. And he said he'd go out running like really like doing energy, like, you know, he was trying to lose weight too, and he's like running with his dog every day, and then he would run up the stairs to his apartment and then run in, and the dog would like wrestle him and then start chewing on the couch. And he went to this like dog behavioralist who, you know, like this murder dog whisperer who's basically, so what you're telling me is that every day you're training your dog more and more to fight you for the apartment. So I had a cat training mishap today. I mean, you can't really train cats, but so Bob just loves to chew on stuff. And he was like chewing on wires, like not power wires, but like headphone wires, you know, so it wouldn't kill him if he bit through it. It would just kill my headphones. And, so I kind of like nudged him away with my boot really gently. And all of a sudden he's like, boot. And he starts just chewing on my boot. And I lifted my foot up. I sit in a chair. I lifted my foot up and he clung to me with all four of his feet chewing on the end of my boot, like off the ground. That's how strong and energetic this little SOB is. And so I started like gently, really gently, like kind of like mopping the floor with him, and he loved it. And he climbed on the top of my boot, and then
though mopping the floor with your cat does sound a little bit different.
Sounds what?
Sounds like you're beating a cat up.
No,
say, like a mop.
Oh, his
floor.
Other favorite thing to do is when he's lying on the floor, I walk over to him, bend over, and take both hands and gently spin him in a circle, and spin him the other way so he doesn't get dizzy. He loves it. He'll come to me to like do that. But the thing with with my foot, so then he kept running over. I was trying to type on my new monitor and check it out and do the settings. Oh, I got a new bigger monitor, because, you know, I spent like $50 a year on clothes, and like the rest of it goes to art supplies, which is basically computer stuff. So on top of all my health problems that everyone's heard sick of hearing about, and I'm getting better slowly, but my eyes and my ears are getting worse a lot. Like, I got new glasses last year and paid $700.
You truly are getting old.
I paid $700 for the glasses and the exam for, you know, driving glasses and reading glasses, two sets. And, you know, the driving and TV ones still work fine, but the close-up ones, my eyes have gotten worse. So I don't have money for new glasses. It was cheap. And the only thing I use them for is computer. So I bought a better monitor that was bigger and had higher resolution. That was $200. The new glasses would have been like $350. So treated myself to a great monitor today. So I'm playing with that, trying to set it up and everything. And Bob's like, oh, feet are something to attack in boots now. And he starts doing that. And I keep playing with him and like gently moving my foot away, and he chases it and bites it and then move it away. And I keep doing it. And then I go up to leave, and I realize from his next action that what I've been doing is training my cat to trip me. kids, don't try this.
So now he's tripping at you every time you walk by, right?
Yeah, and I've said I've predicted my death. My death will be of, like, you know, 75 or later. I'm gonna live sick and old like Selby. I'm not gonna die young, but I'm gonna die tripping over a black cat at the top of my stairs and fall down into the basement, break my neck. DJ's gonna be out of town on business. She goes a couple times a year, and I'm going to lie there unable to call anybody, and I'll die after about 8 hours of agony, and then the cats will eat me the next day when there's no food in the bowl, because that's what cats do. Black cats, I figured out why. That's why they're considered unlucky, because you trip on them in the dark. My white cat, I've never tripped on once. Bip Cat, the black and white one, because he's mostly white.
And then when you die from this, then I'm going to be hearing from all the people who are super suspicious about everything. Yeah, about, like, oh, see, there's proof.
Congress must act to regulate and license black cats. And
radio show.
You have to, like, put in special government-approved lighting in your house, like floor runner boards, like lighting in an airplane. You know, I like it.
Yeah.
All right, so.
But yeah,
what do you think of the current candidates?
They're all cancer. I just did a hangout last night on my YouTube channel, and I was talking about the election and what my predictions were, and I'll get into that in a second.
Either of them.
Yeah, I said that she's going to win in a landslide.
I'm moving to Mars if either of them win.
Yeah, Hillary is looks like she's going to win in a landslide, and even Utah.
Horrible.
Utah may go to Egg McMuffin, Evan McMullen, who I like to call Egg McMuffin.
Oh,
Edward McMullen. He's one of those third party candidates who can't win, and he even tells people.
The Mormon
he's just independent.
Party?
Yeah, he's just independent. He's a Mormon ex-CIA guy, and his whole thing is
vote for me
because, you know, like, you at least you'll be able to sleep at night. I won't be able to win, and Gary Johnson is losing to him.
government agent, three-letter government agencies love Mormons. This is a fact. They love FBI, DEA, IRS. They all love to hire Mormons because Mormons are... as a whole, generally more scrupulously honest. Yeah, because they won't steal, and they don't have any problem working for terrible agencies like that, because all of the Mormons that had any fight and any, like, anti-government sentiment, the government murdered. Google it, people. I have the documents.
And they also save a lot of money in coffee, since they don't drink caffeine. So, you know, like, we don't have to pay for extra coffee now.
You know, we are on stations in Utah. Well, we were. The board op at that station just ran over and hit the big, like Frankenstein switch on the wall to cancel the beans.
No, Mormons are wonderful. The Mormons are absolutely wonderful people. Okay. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's always kind of fun to you know, to make fun of the you know, the smaller groups, right?
Smaller politics, yeah.
Yeah, the smaller politics, yeah. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the Book of Mormon, it's brilliant. But this election has been really annoying me, because if you say anything like any, it's not even like I want something to happen. It's just that this is what I think will happen, or this is what will happen. Anything that has to do with this, and if it's not something someone likes, you know, if it's a Gary Johnson supporter, and you're saying that, you know, he won't win a state, well, that means that you absolutely hate libertarians and you want nothing to do with libertarianism. It's like no. If you think that Trump will win or Hillary will win, the other team will immediately assume that you're supporting them. Or you that you want that to happen. It's like, no, it's just a statement of fact. You know, Hillary Clinton's going to win. I'm not saying that I want her to win.
Hey, I'm just saying she will win. Let's change the subject. The whole thing. Anybody.
No, yeah. That's what I'm pointing out, is that this is all cancer. I can't wait for it to be over.
Speaking of cancer. So here's a really good testament to, like, people scan through. You know, like, it used to be that people on average had, like, you know, 20 friends 100 years ago. And now people have thousands of people they consider friends, or at least hundreds, because of social media. Here's a really good example of how little attention you can give all of those people. Like, Ian Freeman and I are friends. He's a friend of mine. He's given me hours of his time with Tech Help. We've talked a lot. We've hung out in person. He's been tripping on the Freedom Fiends in person at Porkfest. Only person I know.
I thought you were going to say he was tripping on your cats, but go ahead.
No, he was tripping on the Fiends like 3 years before you ever tripped on the Fiends. So,
okay.
Fun with Acid. That's a good Fang song. Oh, earlier when I said, who likes murder? Nobody likes murder, you know, like about that virtue signaling guy. You know who likes murder? Gigi Allen had a song called Legalized Murder. But Gigi Allen's a big poser who just was all talk, man. He never killed anybody.
Pussy. I guess he had. I don't know. What's the opposite of virtue?
Evil signaling? Yeah, he did, whatever he was. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the inverse of virtue signaling.
What was I talking
about? He didn't want to announce how great a good, moral, just a person he was.
What was I talking about before I hijacked myself there?
Cats. Cats.
What about him? No.
How you're tripping on your cats and how Ian was tripping on your cats.
You're tripping on cats. Hey, let's do some cheesing. You know what cheesing is, right?
And then you asked me about the election. And then got mad at me for talking about the election.
So
cancer.
I called it Free Talk Live today, the other libertarian radio show in the world, and talked about Bitcoin, which everyone should be mining. And you know what I found out? You actually can still solo mine it. So start up your solo miners, people. It's going to be great. So I called in and talked. They put me on for 3 segments. That's pretty darn cool. It's rare, which turns out to 16 minutes of actual time after I edited out the ads, because that's how radio is. But I'm going to put that at the end of this episode. So when you hear that, don't suddenly think, oh, this new iPhone app that Michael made messed up, because at the end of the episode, it started playing Free Talk Live for some reason. No, I'm putting it on there. But Ian said to me on the show, or in one of the segments, like, he was like, hey man, by the way, congratulations. And I'm like, what, for Bitcoin? Thank you. And he's like, no, I don't like altcoins, but I heard you beat cancer. And I'm like, what? No, I recently had a cancer scare, but I haven't had cancer yet. I'm in remission, like much of the world. That's a fatalistic attitude there. Remission. We're all gonna die.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I'm a cat now.
I'm a cat now. Do you know I pulled you over, Sam?
Meow. You know what? Meow. All right, meow. Yeah, sorry. Just say meow.
If elected, I will continue to oppose murder in all forms because I am a virtuous man. Except,
hey, look, here's what I got to say. Last thing to that guy who virtue signaled that he's against murder by resigning his canceling his RSS subscription to the Freedom Fiends. what I've got to say to him is, I knew Sammy McBride from Fang. I was on the same label with Sammy McBride from Fang. And you, sir, are no Sammy McBride from Fang. That's it.
I think he would agree with that.
Yeah. I think he'd like that. All right. So,
virtue signaling is like pointing out someone's virtue signaling is kind of virtue signaling, because what you're saying is, I don't find it virtuous that people virtue signal.
I think we're the exception, though. You know, people always think they're the exception, but I think
I don't care about virtue signaling, but
I liked what Angela said. You know, if you're going to virtue signal, you're really going to draw the, like, anything up to murder. Yeah.
Screw. Oh, rapist? Nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Meh.
Nah.
Meh. Nah. All right. So I want to welcome a station affiliate. It's in Hugo, Colorado. I wish I could do this when our co-host from Mexico, Hugo, is on the show. But Hugo, Colorado, it's 16:10 a.m. Doesn't have a name, but Lucas is the guy. Thank you, Lucas. It's a Part 15 station, one of those, you know, the most powerful station in the tri-yard area. But actually, you could reach up to a mile with a good antenna with in the certain terrain. Like, you know, a mile in a small town covers the small town. So thank you for your service, Hugo. Appreciate it. I also want to thank Jason Paradise for donating $20 because I spent $500 making an iPhone app. You know, if everybody who downloads the free iPhone app for the Freedom Fiends donated $20, I'd probably pay for it. Because I think...
Are you saying there's only like... I'm bad with
you
math.
You can't do the math.
Yeah.
There's only like
X amount
digits,
of...
Yes.
Small amounts of iPhone users.
Our fans can't afford phones.
I just bought an S7. And I'm very happy with my purchase.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And this is the one that doesn't explode.
That's, it's an Android.
It's the big one.
It's an Android that costs a sixth of what an iPhone costs and works four times better. So let's see. What else I got? I also want to thank Chaz Murray, who donated $100 for the Freedom Fiends for me making the iPhone app. Wow. Thanks, dude. And I said, you know, I'm just going to waste this on buying more Freedom Fiends buttons and stickers and giving them away and selling them at cost. And he's like, you can do whatever you want with it, man. You could buy a gallon. You could go on the internet. What did he say?
Buy a gallon of PCP?
No, he said, close. He said, you could go on the dark web and buy a gallon of Chris Cantwell pee. I'm Googling that right now. Googling Chris Cantwell pee for just, Bitcoin.
It's just leftover newts. Leftover newts and whiskey.
Nootropics, yeah. And whiskey. Anger at non-whites, but at himself because he's now dating a Puerto Rican girl. And God bless him. He found love. Good for him. Yeah. But it's still funny that all his white power friends abandon him because he's dating a Puerto Rican girl.
I'm done with yous anyway. I'm done with yous.
You know what? It's funny because we have friends. Jeremy Heisen, N-word, our co-host, knows him in person from back in the day from like high school. And some other Fiend fan knows him from back in the day from, you know, Strong Island, Suffolk County.
Long
and
Island.
They both said he never had anywhere near that strong an accent. It's an affectation. He's a big, skinny, crazy poser. He used to be a fat poser, but the newts and meth that he mixes and snorts off his AK-47. You know, he's stupid to like put his rifles on. That's how you register him. That's how you get him taken away, people. But I guess he wants that big final confrontation. But he's making it
kind
all
kind of like
up.
Putting your finger, kind of like having your phone unlocked with your fingerprint, which I was doing for a while, and then I was like, no, that's a dumb idea.
Then you saw the Saturday Night Live skit, but.
No, that's how the government gets
you.
That's
Jeopardy.
Right. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, the Black Jeopardy. It was brilliant.
Which basically just came down to poor blacks and whites are basically the same because they all hate the government and don't trust it, which is true, and they should.
They both like Tyler Perry, and they all have a packet drawer in their kitchen.
A packet drawer. Yeah. Of condiments. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we come back, we're going to make fun of Apple more and talk about the government and why it sucks and why it wants to take your money and your liberty.
And your fingerprint.
Yeah. And your fingerprint. Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
I'll send you. Hey, did you? Oh, I'm going to check my P.O. box. Did you send me more bad audios of hate crime stickers, Jim?
Yeah, I sent it. I lost the receipt and I didn't scan the thing. So
I'm going next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should have been there. I got your
stickers. I'm going Friday. I'm going to the post office. So.
And you also sent me a BIPCOT
no government.
Mercury dime. So thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Worms, man. Yeah, it's worth like $4.50. Dobby Barker made those, I think. Mm-hmm. Made the dime cards. Well, he made the BIPCOT logo. I described it as I liked, and he made it far better than even I imagined.
Well, I posted it, and then Tim Frey tweeted me and said, "I built that." Tim Frey.
Oh, did you see Tim posted a picture of his new, he got one of those really high-end cameras, like the, you know, the best of, yeah, SLR digital camera. And he sent me a photo of the little screen on the back where he set up his, what goes into the meta tags. And it says, like, photo by Tim Frey, covered by the BIPCOT, no government license, cannot be used by governments. Like, every picture he has is going to have that in the meta tags.
I wonder if I could do that with my phone. That'd be interesting.
I wonder if you could hack your phone so every geotag like said you were in Washington, D.C. or something.
Or Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. A place that doesn't exist to most people. And you only ever go here when you're driving from cool places like from Denver to Bozeman, Montana. Seriously, Bozeman, Montana has a more happening punk rock scene than this town. That's where the band Steel Pole Bathtub was from, and they were label mates with me and Sammy McBride on Boner Records. Melvins were on that label, too. You liked the Melvins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so got a few other things to cover here before we bash Apple more. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have something to say, sir?
No, Apple. I want to talk about Apple.
Black Mirror. New Black Mirror's out. You got to see it. Really funny story. So my friend Jeff said that he forgot to turn off mining Bitcoin in the month we were down, and he had 225,000 bips, which is two-thirds of the bips that have ever been mined. And I'm like, cool, man. Can I have, like, half of them, and I'll use it to pay, you know, I'll use it to pay people to make the coin better, and actually maybe the other ones will be worth something. And he's like, yeah. And he couldn't get in the wallet, so he sent me the wallet files and the password, and I got into it. And it's like, this is weird. I don't know. It's not behaving like that. So I got my crack team. I got Derek Slopey, two-thirds of the rest, half my team working on this for like a half hour. So we finally determined through forensic analysis and the fact that we have a blockchain, a block explorer now, he mined 225,000 bips on the fork. That's not the real blockchain. Yeah, it's pretty funny, though. It was a good experience. Remember when that kid had that bad... I want to strangle that kid who had that bad... that bad pool that forked everyone. Forked that guy.
Yeah. But speaking of fork, someone should fork Apple.
Yeah. So I'm going to play this ad again by Apple. I really wanted Angela's take on it, because Angela's interdasting and funny and great and smart and has a sexy stoner voice even when she's not on heavy drugs, but she is on heavy drugs tonight. So I wanted her take on this because she's an iPhone owner, but she's not here. So I'm going to go ahead and play this, and then we're going to discuss it. This is the new ad. Yeah. Feel free to react live, because I love hearing you laugh and meow. Here we go.
Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
And yeah. It's so true. They're so smug and they're smuggy, they smug faces. All of them.
Oh, you know what? While I'm complaining about actual things other than just the general mood of Apple, everything's worse about dealing with them than dealing with Google. Google Play Store is like, hey, come on in. Guy we've never heard of, pay $25 for life and you can put your app here. We'll have it up tomorrow. Thanks. We appreciate it. And Apple, like I had to fight with them. It cost me like $500 and I have to pay $99 a year as opposed to $25 for life. But I've talked about all that. The thing I've noticed that I forgot was, so when you put an app up, they have a questionnaire on both sites, Apple and Google, of like, you know, are there mentions of sex? Are there mentions of drugs? Like, and what kind of mentions? Goodness. I answered both of them completely honestly, like no cussing whatsoever, usually. and you know, we talk about drugs. We don't really glorify them, but we talk about usually. But sex, we talk about sex. You know, no. Anyway, just like answered it pretty straight. Google.
It's radio friendly talk about all
there
these
we
things.
Go. Yeah, it's nothing you don't hear on, you know,
Rush Limbaugh
network TV after 8.
I was addicted to painkillers.
Yeah, but people should still go to prison for drugs.
Here's the thing. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so, but here's the thing, Rush. So here's the thing. The age, recommended age, or actually like you have to be, you know, because you have to use a credit card to get on these stores, even if you don't spend any money on them. You have to be 14 to use the Fiends app on Google, on Android. You have to be 17 to use the same app if you're on Apple. Nannies.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know what's ironic? I've never been a big Apple fan. Everything is kind of like a walled garden with them. Everything is like a kiosk. I can't stand it.
Yeah, somebody said Richard Stallman, the co-inventor of Linux, GNU Linux, said that Steve Jobs made jail cool. I think that's hilarious, man. But you know what's ironic? So 2 years ago, if I put this app out, we would have had a host that wasn't old enough to be allowed to use it. Because Nick's 18 now, but he was on the show when he was 15. Wow.
Yeah, man. He just barely passed the mark.
Yep.
Barely passed the mark for the last year he was on. So.
Yep. So I was talking last night about what inspired the things in this ad, and I named a bunch of them, but then I listened to this ad on repeat for an hour again today and thought of some other things so that I didn't mention. The line, and my wife helped me write, I wrote it, but then she tweaked it and made it better. Like, the first thing she said was, you know, you have to open the whole thing. She added a line at the beginning, which makes it. She added the line, you're special. And she also added the line, or like, especially the way it was said, of those Android users, they think they're so smart. She sounds like a 12-year-old. Like, you think you're so smart. Yeah. Which is how Apple users, not all of them, but a lot of them strike me, because they think they're so special. So the line at the end, because you inspire joy feelings in all those around you. That's a borrowed line. Do you know where it's borrowed from?
No.
Demolition Man. Seen that movie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been a while.
My face is in it. Bomb poster on Sandra Bullock's office wall. But
did we ever figure out? Brothers. Did we ever figure out how the three shells worked? By the way.
Yeah, that's funny. So
we should do an episode about that
someday. We should. That's the running joke. That's a great joke too. How do the three shells work? But it's the shell game of the future. So it's basically a movie about, it's a funny movie about this dystopian, you know, like 50, 60 years in the future where guns are outlawed. Police don't even have guns, you know, and they like thaw out this maniac who's been in cryo prison since the 90s, who just wants to murder everybody. He goes to the Museum of Violence, steals a gun, and goes on a rampage and assembles a gang, which actually includes, who's the governor in Minnesota?
Jesse Ventura.
Yes. Did you know that? He's one of the gang of the gang in that movie.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes' gang. Is it Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, he was all in. He was kind of around the movie scene back in those days. He was also in Predator, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, Ventura. Yeah. Well, but also he's naked in one scene in this. So is Stallone, who looks pretty damn good for a, you know, a 60-year-old dude naked, no homo. But so it's about this future.
That's because I've been avoiding all of the chemtrails.
The funny thing about this movie, I don't want to yell. Just be mellow with me. I'm going somewhere with this, brother, man. Save it for the lulberts.
I'm not yelling. This is how I normally
save
talk.
Save it for the lulberts. So the movie is basically about this future that's like where political correctness has gone awry. Where like cussing's illegal, procreation by sex is illegal, salt, sugar, you know, meat are illegal, which is bizarre because the only restaurant is Taco Bell. Product placement, Taco Bell is everywhere. It's the only restaurant left. What do they serve if, you know, they probably serve Soylent Green, judging by what's on the plates, if they can't have salt or meat or fat. But
isn't that just Taco Bell anyway? Yeah. Salt, meat, and fat.
When you want something Mexican food adjacent, go to Taco Bell. So
It's faux Mexican food. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it has its place. Yeah. Del Taco's better.
What were we talking about? You've taken me so far down the road.
I just said three shells and he went on a tangent about Demolition Man. Okay,
what was I talking about Demolition Man? How'd we get into this? I'll say it on the air. I have Alzheimer's or something, but
I was just in for the ride.
Don't look. Thanks, man. Apple.
It started with Apple.
Apple. Yeah. So, in this movie, there's a scene early in the movie kind of establishing what this weird world is like, where this man goes up to this kiosk that looks like an old telephone booth that's kind of open. You stand in front of it and talk to this computer. It looks like a big ATM. And it's like it's giving him a boost. And he walks up to it. He's in a bad mood. He's like sad. He's like, "Hi, I'm not in a very good mood today." And the computer says, "You're wonderful. You inspire joy feelings in everyone around you." And he's like, "Thank you. I feel better already." And the machine's like, "Welcome, citizen. Have a joy day." And that's like what the world's like now. So to me, that's the world that Apple and Hillary want us to have. It's Demolition Man. Also, remember those ads, Think Different, where they'd have like Gandhi and you know, geniuses and relativity and I don't know, just all sorts of people like great people like Steve Jobs is like Einstein. Well, actually, he was like Gandhi because they, you know, they were both abusive to women. But
was Think Different their idea is why we need to get rid of the 3mm head jack and then include an adapter for the head jack? And
it was
the same thing anyway.
Thing. It was when they were battling Microsoft instead of Google back in the 80s.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today. Because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Funny. She's a paralegal and she was working a case. Her firm was working a case that was in federal court today. And so she was in federal court in a federal courtroom all day. and came home. Like, and she's always so much more wiped out when she's been in federal court than in state court. She came home and she said, ugh. She walked in the door. She looked exhausted. She washed her hands. When she walked the door, she said, I need to wash the federal government off my hands. So I think what we should have BIPCOT hand cleaner. It washes the government off your hands.
Oh, I'd buy that. What's with all these like paralegals and attorneys and stuff like that who are like ANCAPs? I think
dealing with the system in the same way that a lot of soldiers are like Ron Paul fans and Oath Keepers and, you know, like ex-soldiers and ex-cops, like dealing with the belly in the belly of the beast makes you go, man, that's a beast. I don't like it. I hate it.
Yeah. I know Kinsella is another one of these. He's a patent attorney who is anti-IP.
And it's anti-IP. Not ironic.
Yeah.
It's not ironic.
You know, no, I think
he actually protects people from a lot of what he does is helps is yeah. works. You know, it's hired by people who are being touched in bad places by copyright.
Yeah. And that's why he lives in Texas, is because a lot of these patent trolls only really work in one small area. I think it's around Houston somewhere where there's a judge who
is really lenient. It's a tiny town. Yeah.
And
federally, like all of the things that have a lot of money behind them get pushed there, including Apple constantly suing Google. Do you know about this? It's been happening forever. I think it goes both ways, but I think it's mostly Apple suing everybody because Steve Jobs went to his grave hating the Android operating system. He's like, this is plainly copying the iPhone, and it's really not. And the ironic thing is, back in the day,
it's way better.
Back in the day,
shots fired.
He got really upset. You know, they came out with the first personal computer, Apple did, that had a GUI, a graphical user interface. Oh, by the way, we're gonna have a GUI Bitcoin wallet pretty soon here again, but. You know, and it was groundbreaking because before that, like, computers, you know, were big and required scientists to run them. And this Apple Lisa and the other Apple that came out after that, I don't know what it's called, but, you know, for a price that people with a good job, not everybody, not like now, but people with some money could buy a computer that had a graphical user interface and was fun to use. And then a couple years later, Windows came out with a system that was remarkably serious. And there's a biopic about Jobs and Microsoft Gates that is, it's got some exaggerations for Hollywood, but it's pretty accurate, called Pirates of Silicon Valley. Don't download that on the torrents. Don't pirate Silicon Valley.
Because it's illegal, it's, and that means it's wrong.
It's great. It's got Michael Anthony Hall as Bill Gates and what's his name as the Apple guy, the guy from ER that's real sexy and handsome and everyone loves him.
Does it show at the very end that they're actually best friends in real life at the end of the day?
They were really good friends. It was actually, I think, wasn't it that Microsoft saved Apple from going under by buying 10% of their stock at some point. But so basically, like, you know, Apple and Microsoft, like, it was okay back then, but it's not okay now, is what Jobs thinks. Yeah. Although it's the other way around. I think.
Didn't he buy the GUI from Xerox in the first place?
No, they threw it away. He pulled it out of their trash, literally. Well, there might have been some money, but it was like, you know, he wanted to use it. He and his programmers went to a demo. Was it Bell Labs? It was some weird subsidiary of something. HP? No, I don't know what it was. Go watch that movie. You'll know. But, yeah, the graphical user interface, it was Xerox. That's it. It was Park, P-A-R-C, Xerox, who also developed, like, you know, Douglas Engelbart. I think he was working out there. In 1969, there's a video called The Mother of All Demos. Go find it on YouTube. It's in 1969, demonstrating in one sitting, like, graphical user interface, the mouse, tree-like directory structure, pointing and clicking, video conferencing, like eight things that are all in your phone now that had never been done. Like, were done in one sitting all at once. And Steve Jobs was like, yeah, I want all that. I'm just going to take it.
Patents suck.
And he went to his grave after, like, taking this thing that, you know, was from built by another company and calling it his own.
So we'll get to more of the story about what's happening in Venezuela. But first, we go to the phones, to the fun, actually, in this case, to Skype, where Michael Dean is on the line. He is one of the Freedom Fiends. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Over.
Loud and clear.
Excellent. I want to talk about BIPcoin. Bitcoin. BIP. B-I-P. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.
Wasn't this the cryptocurrency that you launched?
That died.
That then died, but then came back to life or something like that?
Yes, we killed it. And actually, I'm not hiding that. I'm not downplaying that. I'm upplaying that.
Is Bitcoin the Jesus of cryptocurrencies?
It is the Lazarus, at least, if not the Jesus. I wouldn't say. I think I am Bitcoin Jesus, and I gathered new apostles who had much bigger talents and were more committed, and they put their hands on it and rose the Lazarus of Bitcoin from the dead. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
The fact that we couldn't kill it is why we came back. So we launched this thing a couple months ago. It's based on CryptoNote, which is the code base that Monero is based on, that has the built-in mixer, you know, coin mixer, so it's anonymous. It's anonymous if enough people are using it, basically. So I'm inviting enough people to come use it and mine it and go to BIPcoin.
All right. So everybody's got their own altcoin these days, so I want to know why anyone should care about this, Michael Dean. You're going to have to hang on.
You got
it. We'll talk about that, because we've heard a billion of these pitches. Well, not a billion of them, but we've heard enough to be tired of it.
Small handful.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. I mean, we've got Monero. What do we need this for? This is Free Talk Live. You can have a Bitcoin Accepted Here sticker as well. And you can, of course, pay for them with Bitcoin. Store.bitcoin.com. Go there and get some cool stuff that is Bitcoin related. That's store.bitcoin.com. Now we go back to Michael W. Dean, the host and the creator of the Freedom Fiends, which is the only other really syndicated talk show of a liberty-minded persuasion out there in the business for the most part. So welcome back to Free Talk Live. Now, you're here pitching us BIPcoin, which is your competitor to Bitcoin and all the other zillions of altcoins.
No. I don't look at altcoins as competitors, but there really aren't many altcoins, if any, until maybe a little bit with Monero, that have actually been used, not just had value from speculation, but actually from commerce. And, you know, Monero has had a big jump like 2 months ago from $1 to $17 a coin.
It's now down to $6.43.
I know. I'll explain that because it connects to BIPcoin at BIPcoin.org. First of all, the reason that people should be interested in this is you can still mine it. It's 2 months old. The difficulty's not that high. You can pool mine it. We have two pools and two explorers. And I'm not really pitching it. Like, I don't even have a lot of this. You know, we did a tiny pre-mine. We gave a lot of it away. I mean, like a tiny fraction, 1%. And we gave it away to developers mostly. So I'm not like, yeah, pump it up. I'm in this for the ride. You know me. I get into things and ride them forever because that's what I do. It's a liberty thing.
Why? Like, what's the point? Is it just you're doing it for fun? Hey, we made our own cryptocurrency.
No. I mean, it is fun. It's got cats, you know? Cats are fun, but and the default port is 18870, which is the first five numbers of Ross Ulbricht's prisoner number. I think if Ross Ulbricht had crypto note coins, we would have no idea who he is, and that'd be a good thing.
I don't think they caught Ross from his Bitcoin transactions.
Yeah, what is the theory on that? What's the current theory?
They infiltrated the server. I mean, there's no theory here. I mean, this is what happened. They infiltrated the Silk Road. Now we're shifting gears. Listeners, Silk Road was the underground drug marketplace, the very first darknet market. Ross Ulbricht was the creator of that website, and he's now spending his life in prison for running a website, basically. What happened was there was one of the administrators who got taken down, and I forget the reason or what happened with that. I forget what led them to this character in the first place. But they managed to bust one of the administrators of the Silk Road, and they silently replaced him. So they replaced him.
Okay.
His account then was taken over by the FBI, and their agent, or DEA, or whoever it was, one of the federal agencies, was operating that account. And their agent was then a man on the inside at that point, and he had a back-end access to the website and was able to gather more information than otherwise they would have been able to gather. And they used that access as they sort of did more and more research on the Silk Road. They ended up finding old posts from Ross Ulbricht a long time ago on one of his known kind of email addresses.
Oh, he used his real email address.
Yeah.
That's the problem with having multiple personalities online. It's, you know, they say that thing about, like, you know, the more lies you tell, the thicker the web becomes of, you know, like, that's an old saying.
Well, what he did was, you know, it would have been one thing had he been using his own email address later on, just as some unwitting person who's promoting this great website, but he was promoting it before it really started. And so they traced back and they found those email, they found those message board posts, and they, you know, saw that his email was associated with it. They then used the back-end access to the website that they had, where they could see who was logging in and, you know, how they were logging in and details about that. So they knew when Dread Pirate Roberts, who they determined later was Ross Ulbricht, they knew when he was logging in, and they ultimately, I think he got lazy at one point and didn't log in via like a VPN. And was
that happens too.
And was just logging in direct connection to his server, sort of through the back end. And so they found, oh, well, here's, you know, he's at this coffee shop or whatever in San Francisco or the San Francisco library.
Well,
and
I think the first piece of
advice, they set up surveillance further, and then they observed him going to his parents' house. He went into his parents' house, and then they saw Dread Pirate Roberts come online. And then when they saw Dread Pirate Roberts come offline, he left his parents' house. And at the same time, they saw a Tor connection go live on his parents' internet connection. So they used a lot of this stuff to figure him out.
Don't stay in the United States if you're going to do something like this.
That's good advice.
First of all, I love Ross Ulbricht. I'm a huge supporter. Secondly, Bitcoin, we are not saying it's for any particular purpose other than people who don't want, who think that what you do with your money is, you know, that ain't none of their business. And what Ross Ulbricht did is none of my business. But the other reason that people should do this, oh, and you know what you really said, the whole thing about Ross Ulbricht, you know, not that he committed a crime, but to use the old vernacular, he wasn't caught by some kind of cyber sleuthing, super, you know, nerd stuff. He was caught by what they call good old fashioned police work.
He was
back in the day, you know?
Well, he committed a crime. He just didn't do anything wrong.
I'm just making it clear for the people in the cheap seats, you know?
Well, I mean, they did detective work, but they also did cyber sleuthing work. I mean, it was a combination of both. Barely. And
it's not like Hexor stuff, though.
Right.
You know, there wasn't any. I'll be in their mainframe in just a second, Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't any of that.
I was just going to say, so you said it's crypto note based, which means it's similar to Monero, which is kind of the big crypto note. Monero, we've pointed out to our listeners, is different because crypto note, this thing, was created aside from Bitcoin, whereas a lot of these altcoins that are competing with Bitcoin were created from Bitcoin, where they just forked Bitcoin's code and made their own thing off of that. That's one of the things that makes Monero different. So Bitcoin, your thing, is more similar to Monero than anything else, correct?
Yes.
So why does the world need Bitcoin when we already have Monero? We'll let you get to that here in a moment if you can stick with us.
Thanks,
Michael Dean from Freedom Fiends. I don't know, man. I'm not convinced yet. We'll see what he's got up his sleeve. This is Free Talk Live. Also, we're discussing Bitcoin and one of its, well, he doesn't say it's a competitor, but, you know, I'm sorry. I still see all these altcoins as competitors to Bitcoin to some extent.
Well, competition
and it's
isn't
okay.
Bad.
Yeah, I'm fine with competition. It's bringing new features to cryptocurrencies, and you know it encourages people to upgrade and make things better over time. I'm fine with that. But you know, to pretend like it's not competing, I mean, it may not be a very big competitor, but it still is competing for people's ear time and their brain time and their dollars.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
We'll get back into that. But first, I want to let you know about BitcoinUnlimited.info. There's with Bitcoin Unlimited, because I support the idea of larger block sizes and Bitcoin's continued growth. So check it out, BitcoinUnlimited.info, as we go back to Michael W. Dean, who's telling us about the BIP coin, B-I-P CoIn.org is the site.
Yeah.
And you've explained to us that it's very similar to Monero in that it is based on the same crypto note technology. It is not a Bitcoin knockoff. It is, you know, Monero was created from scratch, basically, as I understand it. So it's a completely different cryptocurrency, which is cool. But why do we need Bitcoin if we've already got Monero?
Because a couple reasons. One is because, like I said, you can mine it now. And I'm not, you know, like, I guess I'm saying, get in now at the ground. You know, you can't really mine Monero, but put it this way. In the amount of time it took me to mine it took me to mine 1.5 Monero, you can mine like 900 Bitcoin.
Yeah, but and, what's a Bitcoin worth?
What's it going to be worth in a year? I remember how much was okay. First of all, you are an altcoin hater.
No, I'm not. I have altcoins.
What altcoins do you like?
I have altcoins. I've got Ether, and I got a little bit of Dash and a little bit of Monero.
But Ian's skeptical, and he wants to know, like, when.
Yeah, I know.
He wants it to be real now. You know, selling Ian a dream, very difficult.
No, just explain to me why it's better. Explain
to me. You've been selling a dream for years.
Explain to me why it's better. Yeah, I can explain why New Hampshire's a better place to be. Why is Bitcoin better than Monero?
How much was Bitcoin when you first bought it? And
I never actually bought
Jesus onto it.
Vision for
you
it.
Turned it's him true. Onto
right.
it.
Right. I didn't but have the vision
him
for
about it.
It.
And he's worth $50 million because of you.
No, I caught the vision when Bitcoin got accepted by the darknet marketplaces and it really kind of got into the news. I said, wow, this thing is pretty awesome. But I'm just not the investor type, so I didn't think, oh, I should go out and buy a bunch of it. Even though I realized how valuable it really was and such a cool idea, I didn't go out and do anything about it. Thankfully, Roger Veer bought some ads with us with Bitcoin. We accepted that, and that has worked out pretty well for us. But, you know, you got to pitch people on why this is a better idea than Monero, or at the very least, you know, has a chance to succeed. What makes it special? What makes it different?
I love Monero.
Yeah.
First of all, cryptocurrencies make up like 1.5% of all altcoins.
How many are there? How many crypto?
There's like a dozen, and there's like 850 altogether.
What's like the number two crypto note compared to Monero?
Bitcoin. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's in the top. I don't have it in front of me, but like top 20 or 30 market share out of, I think. It's up there, you know. It's traded and it's used and it's on people use it.
See, normally when somebody creates an alternative to Bitcoin, they tweak it in some way where they say, we are like Bitcoin, but this, and then they'll have some feature that supposedly makes their thing special.
Well, first of all, we're like Monero, but we have cats.
You have cats. You know? That's it. Okay, so the cats.
Wait,
so
I thought it was more anonymous too, because Bitcoin
more anonymous
really
than Monero?
Isn't. No, than no. than Bitcoin.
No. Okay. Right, so, yes. Right. Yes, it is. Bitcoin, Monero, all these crypto note things are anonymous currencies.
Bitcoin's really not.
Bitcoin. I'm sorry if I didn't say it clearly. Bitcoin. That we're talking about his coins. This is one of the confusions, which may actually be the brilliance.
Years of your life saying Bitcoin or Bitcoin. You're going to have to.
May be one of the brilliances of Bitcoin is that you might just get a bunch of people mistyping Bitcoin
No. We actually haven't, no. And that's not why we did it. It's actually named after the BIPCOT No Government License.
Yes.
Right.
Which it has, which Monero doesn't.
Okay, that's one other thing then. So cats,
Bitcoin,
and the No Government License.
Government use.
And
government not allowed. Go away. And you can mine it.
You can mine Monero, too.
The other thing is our attitude.
That's hold on just a second.
I have mined Monero. I know you can.
The point that he's trying to make is that you can mine a quantity of it, that you can have some success.
Yeah.
As opposed to turning your computer on to Monero, where, you know, a lot of people have their computers on there. So he's pitching the idea that you can get into the ground floor.
Yep. And also miners help a coin. I'm trying to get more miners. I'll say that right now. Miners are good for a coin.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is the ground floor. I don't like using the word ground floor. It sounds scammy, but this is, it's so mineable. It's as mineable as, like, you know, back when Roger Ver was going, what are all these things? Wow, okay. Well,
but can you even trade it anywhere? Can you actually go on a marketplace?
Yes, you can trade it for Freedom Fiends buttons and merch and stickers. I've solved the pizza problem that Bitcoin had until someone sold pizza. Go to the Bitcoin website, bitcoin.org.
And has that happened? Bitcoin, have there been people who...
Yes.
Okay.
Couple dozen. And cool. I'll take money out of my pocket to pay for the shipping now to send you Freedom Fiends merch. Okay, the other thing I've been trying to get to for 10 minutes.
Oh, you had something else. Okay.
Well, it's also the team. It's got Derek Slopey, who
he's awesome.
Liberty loves.
He's great.
And so before when we launched it, we basically had one guy, more or less, and he's a great guy and a great programmer, but he didn't understand cryptocurrencies to begin with. Mm. Derek's been mining Bitcoin since he could do it on a Raspberry Pi. But he left because he was like, you know, I'm like, hey, we're having a lot of errors. People aren't able to transact. And he's like, I can get to it in 2 weeks. And I'm like, people are dying. So now I've got a team of four people.
Wow.
One is SLB, who is like the fork note guy. He's very respected in the crypto note community. One is this Greek dude who's great, named Makis, who loves cryptocurrencies, but also he's in Greece, where
they need cryptocurrencies in Greece. They're real bad. Yeah. Hey, speaking of dying, weren't you dying up until recently? Didn't you just beat cancer? Congratulations. I thought I heard that somewhere.
Are you still alive, Michael W.D.?
Scare. Yeah. Isn't that the running joke in that movie about the junkies from Wales, Trainspotting? Iggy Pop, is he still alive? I thought he died. But no, Bitcoin Jesus is getting better. I was nearly dead a year ago, but I'm on oxygen at night. But anyway, the other advantage is we're going to have a GUI wallet within 2 weeks. Monero's like, GUI wallets are for scam coins.
Now, if you can beat Monero to the punch with a graphical user interface wallet, that could be a big thing for Bitcoin.
We have them. Just have to update it.
All right, cool, man. Hey, thanks for the pitch on that tonight, Michael. I appreciate it. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. You can join us on Free Talk Live.